You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
I want you to notice who Paul is addressing in our verse of Philippians 3 and 17. He is addressing the brethren. The brethren have to do with those that have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Those who are righteous. Those who have been washed by the blood of Jesus. More so, the brethren is synonymous with folk that walk by faith or the written and the revealed word of God. Again, Paul is addressing the brethren. And though I am not Paul nor writing a letter to the church in Philippi, I too am addressing this morning the brethren. I'm addressing the young brethren. I'm addressing young people that know they have made Jesus their Lord and their Savior. I'm addressing young folk that walk by faith and not by sight. I'm addressing young men and women on this morning that believe in praising God. Oh, I'm talking about the brethren. Brethren believe in coming to God's house, giving God thanksgiving and praise. You're going to enter into them gates with some thanksgiving. And you're going to come into the courts of God with some praise. If you are really the brethren, no way you gonna just lay back and go to sleep in God's house. Kick your feet up in your chair and just get relaxed. No, you are the brethren. You got to give God the praise for all that he has done for you on this week. All that he has brought you through on this week, you know that your God deserves the praise. He deserves a hallelujah. He's been protecting you. He's been prospering you. He's been delivering you. No way you gonna hold back the praise and call yourself a child of God. Oh, I'm talking to the brethren this morning. You know, the brethren come into God's house hungry and thirsty for some righteousness. They come in needing a word from God. Because they understand that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Sitting in their chair, just waiting on God to answer a prayer. Sitting in their chair, hungering for God to give them direction. Sitting in their chair, waiting on God to correct them of their wrong so they can get right. Oh, I'm talking to the brethren. And I got to ask a question. Do we have any brethren this morning at the MSW? Do we have any folk that are glad to be called out of darkness into his marvelous light? Where you at this morning? Where you at? Make some noise if the Lord is talking to you. And let me say this. If you know you are a part of the brethren, you got to remember who you are. Not just in the church, not just when the service is hot. You got to remember who you are when you leave the church. You got to remember on your job that I have been called out. I am saved. I am a Christian. I am to be holy because he is holy. Because many of us, we go around folk in our schools, in our jobs, and in our families. They are not born again. And if you're not careful, you can find yourself being persuaded to act like them instead of them acting like you. Look at somebody say, you better remember who you are. Yeah, it's very important that you do not forget that you are a part of the church. You have been called out. Tap yourself and say, I gotta remember who I am. When I'm going through trials, I gotta remember who I am. When I'm facing temptation, I gotta remember who I am. When folk are picking on me and persecuting me, I got to remember who I am. I am a part of the brethren. And when we consider our verse here this morning, Philippians 3:17, the Apostle Paul gives two commands specifically for the brethren. How many commands does he give? Two. Two specific commands for a specific people. These commands aren't for everybody, but they are for the brethren. The first command that he writes to them, he says, join in following my example. Join in following my example. When he says join in, it suggests that the brethren need to get, first of all, on the same page. It suggests that he wants the people of God to unify. It also suggests that he was discerning that many of God's people at the time were not together or unified the way that they should be. And we have got to make sure as young men and young women of God that we are all on the same page. Because sooner or later, amongst the brethren, we're going to have some problems. Disagreements. Things are going to arise in between us. Even though we serve the same God, even though we sing together, praise together, and so forth, sooner or later, it's going to be some issues that arise amongst the brethren. And we got to make sure that we handle whatever arises the right way. And let me tell you something, it's not the pastor's job to deal with every problem that arises amongst a brother. You have got to mature to the point to where when you know that there is a problem between you and your brother, that you handle it accordingly. You handle it according to the scripture. Because what we don't want is for division to come into God's house. Y'all ought to help me somebody and say, we don't want division in the house. We don't want the praise team to be divided. We don't want members in God's house to be divided. We don't want the pastor and leaders to be divided. We want to be on the same page. Because the psalmist said, good and pleasant things happen when brethren dwell together in unity. And y'all can sit there and act as if problems don't arise in the church, but they do. They do. Let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 12. We got to stay unified. We got to keep the love in the house. We got to deal with problems properly so division doesn't happen. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 12:25. Y'all still with me? Again, we're looking at what Paul said. Join in. Be together. Be unified. Matthew 12, 25, Jesus said, and it says in part, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house or church divided against itself will not stand. If we don't deal with issues properly, we're going to be brought to desolation or we're not going to be happy. You're going to be coming to church, but not with the right attitude. But then he says they won't only be brought to desolation, the house will not stand. It won't be any power in that house. Woo! I said it won't be any happiness and it won't be any power in that house. If you don't get stuff right amongst you and your brother or sister, division is there. You can't depend on mama to fix everything that you involved in. You can't depend on first lady to fix everything that gets messy sometimes in the church. You got to mature to the point to where you go to your brother, you go to your sister, and you resolve certain issues. And then if you can't resolve them, then you go get first lady. Then you go get Minister Akilah. Then you go get Minister Sarita. Then you go get Minister Florence. And if they can't, then they may call on Elder Leeks or they may call on myself. But when there is a problem, you got to have the mindset, I don't want division to happen. So I need to make sure if I'm in this, I try to get this thing right. Matthew 18. How many see the importance of being together? All right, let's go to Matthew 18. In 20, Jesus said, for where two or three are gathered, help me, together. That's the key word. Where two or three are gathered, help me, together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. That's what we want. We want God's presence to be amongst us. So the lesson is, if we divide it, God's presence ain't going to be there. But if we are together, God's presence is going to be there. How many want God's presence? Yeah. So we got to make sure we are together. We may not agree on every single thing, but that shouldn't keep us from being what? Together. The primary thing we need to be in agreement on is God's word. How can two walk together except they agree? Can I take it further than just the church? Even in a marriage, even in your dormitory or your house, on your team, folks need to be on the same page. Woo, that's good. Look at somebody say, we got to be on the same page. And what Paul wanted them to be on the same page about was following his example. When he said, join in following my example, he was saying, look, everybody in the church needs to follow the pastor's example. That's what we need to do. Follow the shepherd's example. And see, this is important. Something that young people need to learn at an early age is that the shepherd is the example for the sheep. God's pastor is the example for the congregation. Let me prove it to you. Y'all still with me? All right, let's go to 1 Timothy. Stay with me. 1 Timothy 4. Let me prove my point. Paul told Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be an example. Is Tyra the only one to read? Y'all help me out. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example. Look, to the believers, to the church, in word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, purity. He gives examples. But the thing I want you to see, young folk, is that God gives a shepherd to a church. One reason is to be their example. And that's who we should imitate. And this goes for a youth and young adult church as well as for an adult church. God designed his church to where the congregation should imitate the shepherd as long as the shepherd is imitating Christ. Bottom line, why does it need to be like this? This is where it's about to get a little bit touchy. God gives the brethren, the church young people, an example to imitate so you can see with your own eyes the results of living right. I'm going to give you an example that you can see, you can touch on a daily, weekly time where you can see, look, if I imitate that, my life is going to turn out blessed. I got to prove it to you. Let's go to Hebrews. Y'all still with me? All right. I want the brethren to imitate the pastor as long as the pastor imitates Christ. Why do we need to imitate the pastor? So we can see with our own eyes the results and the benefits of being Christ-like. Y'all still with me? All right, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. I had a little hiccup, y'all. Y'all wondering what was wrong with me. I had a hiccup. Lord, have mercy. Y'all tough, boy. Verse 7, Hebrews 13 and 7. Am I allowed to have a hiccup? All right. Good God. Hebrews 13, 7. Look at what the writer says. Remember those who rule, help me, over you. Who rules over us? In the church. Who's our leader? Pastor. The shepherd, right? All right. He ain't talking about God. Remember those who rule your leaders. Specifically, your shepherd. And I can say that because of the next clause. Who have spoken the word of God to you. Whose faith, what? Follow. Look at this. Considering the outcome of their conduct. I want you to follow your shepherd's faith. And look at what happens in his life. Conduct having to do with lifestyle. If you imitate that, your life is going to be blessed like who you're following. I'm going to give you someone that you can see as an example. You're going to get to know your shepherd. You don't have to wonder about your shepherd. You're going to see your shepherd every week. Look at his lifestyle. Look at his conduct, the outcome of his conduct. And if you imitate that, your life is going to be the same. May not be exactly the same, but it's going to be just like yours. Your life is going to take place the same way. In other words, if your pastor's productive, you're going to be productive. Your pastor is following Christ and your pastor is blessed. You follow your pastor, imitate your pastor, you're going to be blessed. He says, imitate. Join in and follow my example. And I can say that boldly. Y'all join in and follow my example. I'm not asking you to do something that I'm not doing. I'm following my pastor. I'm striving to think, talk, and do, or shall we say, imitate my pastor as long as he imitates Christ. You up under me, you imitate me. As long as you see me doing likewise. How many are understanding and in agreement by a show of hands? Oh, it's going to get a little touchy. Because you have some of the brethren that choose not to imitate the example. That's why he had to say, I need y'all to join in with me. Join in with me. Come on, unify with me in following my example. He probably knew in our day and time, like the Holy Spirit knew, you got some that's following the example of NBA Youngboy, following the example of Lil Baby, following the example of Nicki Nasty Minaj. Following the example of Megan Thee Stallion. He said, no, I don't want you to follow them. Join in and follow my example. Just because they go out getting some 5-inch eyelashes, baby, that don't mean you need to go out and get some 5-inch eyelashes. Oh, Lord, look how y'all looking now. We want to see the real you, baby. Just because they going to get a butt lift, that don't mean you need to go and get your rear end lifted. Woo! Isn't it a jacked up time when you see the church imitating the world when they should be imitating the example that God sent for them? Y'all done fell off with the amens. I know I'm right. I know I'm right. So join in. I remember some years ago, I had some young people come to me. This was back during the Lean With It, Rock With It days. Y'all remember that song? Lean With It, Rock With It. And they had a little song, they had a little dance to go with it. I mean, Jokers was Lean With It, and it was rocking with it. That was just snapping and clapping and killing it. And somebody came and asked me, when we going to do that at the MSW? And I said, we ain't. Because that would be imitating the world. And the Bible teaches the brethren don't be conformed to the world. Matter of fact, Paul had to tell the Roman church, I urge you, by the mercies of God, be not conformed to this world. Don't imitate the world. And that's a message that still need to be taught and preached in our day and time. God's folk do not need to imitate the world. No, imitate your example. Imitate what God has purposed for us to imitate. Think like your example. Talk like your example. And make choices like the example that God has set before you. And it takes something. It takes some determination to think, talk, and do the way God wants us to do. It takes something, because every day you and I are bombarded on images and people that the world wants us to imitate. But you got to have down in your spirit, no, I know who I'm supposed to imitate. I know who I'm supposed to imitate and follow according to God's word. My shepherd. Woo! Look at somebody and say, you got to know for yourself. But then he gives them the second command. He says, not only join in and follow my example. He says, and note those who so walk. Because it's not just going to be the pastor. You're going to see your pastor at least once, maybe twice a week. And so what he wants you to do, or the brethren to do, is to start being observant. Observe and mark others who have some of the same qualities of their shepherd. I want you to be observant, and I want you to just mark them. It may be an age difference in some instances, but you mark them. And since we're talking about that, let me say this right here. Isn't it amazing how messages like this can be taught to young people in the church? And sometimes young people are so immature that they'll say, well, why you want me to imitate them? They old. Why should I imitate them? They up in eight. They not young. Now, look, God will give you some young folk to imitate that are doing like their pastor. There's some young adults here that you should be able to mark and imitate. Am I right about it? But we should never have the mindset that I'm not going to imitate somebody because they 20 years older than me. That's crazy. That's stupid. Look at somebody say, that's stupid. Have you ever just sat back and looked at who the world wants young people to imitate? It's older folk. Do you know how old Snoopy is? He almost 60. He in his 50. Do you know how old Mary J. Blige is? And she was just at the Super Bowl dancing in her drawers. Just look at some of the ages of the idols of our day and time. Most of them, They much older. But they still have the heart to draw young people. Woo. So he says, no, just note them. I had to throw that in. Observe and mark. You should be able to look around your church and see people that have qualities of your pastor. Those are folk you need to make a mental note of. That's who I need to follow. Because you're probably going to see them more than you do your pastor. You may not see your pastor in and out like you see other folk more often. And so he says, look, young people, you got to mark, be observant, and look around your church for good examples, the right examples that you should be imitating. And when you look at them, they should have some of the same qualities in your pastor. And let me say this, while you're looking, you're gonna notice that not everybody has qualities of your pastor. Yeah, in every church, young people, you're gonna have the Bible teachers, members of honor and members of dishonor. It's just going to be some folk that you need to follow and some folk you need to avoid. You need to just give them time to grow, to mature. Pray for them. And I made up in my mind, I said, Lord, I want to be somebody that others can look to and pattern their life after. That should be your example. When somebody see you out at the mall, are you somebody that they can pattern their life after? When somebody stopped by your social media page, are you somebody that somebody can pattern their life after? When you go to Applebee's, Old Charlie's, are you treating your waitress the way you would want somebody else to look at you and say, well, that's how I need to treat my waitress? In every church, you're going to have folk you should follow and folk you should. Let me show it to you. Let me show you Bible. Y'all go to 2 Timothy. Y'all still with me? All right. 2 Timothy 2. in verse 20, but in a great house, 2 Timothy 2 and 20, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. So you just got to know. You got to know who you should follow and who you should not. It's just like in your natural house. You need to know when it's time to use paper plates and when it's time to use regular or the good stuff. Am I right about it? Certain folk come to your house. Oh, no, you getting paper plates. And you getting a plastic cup. And a plastic fork or spork or spoon. What they call them things? A spork. But then when other folks show up, hey, go in there and get such and such. Same way in God's house. You gotta know. And so Paul tells them, as we get ready to conclude, he tells them, join in following my example and note those who walk so. And look what he says. They are there as a pattern. This is who you should follow. This is who you should copy. This is who you should imitate. One thing we were talking about at Minister Harrison's homegoing yesterday is just how he was always happy. Had this big old smile all the time. Just a good example of how we should count it all joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it had me thinking about other folk that had gone on before us recently to the Lord, to be with the Lord. And just looking at their life, how they were a good pattern for us to apply to our life. And that's how you have to do, young people. As a young man, you need to be able to look around your church and see other men that you should pattern your life after. Man, I see that quality in brother so-and-so. I need to have that quality. Man, so-and-so always keep his car clean. I need to pattern myself after that. Man, so-and-so has always got money. I need to pattern my life after that. Man, he's always at church seeking God, worshiping God. I need to pattern my life after that. Yeah. God gives us these people to be our pattern. These are the right pattern. God never ordained for the church to follow worldly patterns, young people. Never. He never wanted us to model our life after what folk are doing, how they think, talk, and act in the world. And sometimes, young people, you have to take a check and look at yourself and say, man, do I think like the world? Do I talk like the world? Do I act like the world? And if you see yourself coming up short, repent and start imitating the right pattern. The right pattern. Not the wrong pattern, but the right patterns. That's what God wants from us. And that's what he's telling us. We got to tighten up. Woo, look at somebody say, we got to tighten up. Yeah, we gotta tighten up. Whatever level you are on, after a teaching like this, it should cause you to examine yourself and say, man, am I really following the examples the way I need to be? You know, in scripture, the Bible talks about Peter, and it described at one point in his walk with God how he was following the Lord. It said he was following from afar. He was following the Lord, but the Lord was way up there and he was way back way back here. He wasn't imitating Christ at that time the way he should have been. And as a young person, are you imitating your pastor the way you should be? As a minister, are you imitating your pastor the way you should be? Paul could look at one of his ministers, Timothy, and he saw qualities in him. Man, you've been imitating me. You've been imitating. And he wrote Timothy a letter, and I want to show it to you. He wrote Timothy a letter, and in this letter, Paul recognized, man, you've been imitating me. You've been carefully following my example. And see, your pastor need to be able to say that about you. Man, when she get ready to lead prayer, you can tell she got her pastor's spirit. When he gets up to do certain things or he handles himself in and outside of the church, you can tell he's been imitating his pastor. He got his pastor's spirit. And that's what we need to have, young folk. Good and it's well to have a college degree. It's good and well to have a high school degree. It's cool to have a nice phone. Am I right about it? But you need to make sure you have your pastor's spirit. Where you think, talk, and act like you're imitating your shepherd as he imitates Christ. And you need to be able to look at your lifestyle and say, do I have qualities of who I'm imitating? Do I have these qualities? Let me show y'all this. 2 Timothy. We're going to close with this. 2 Timothy 2. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. And notice how Paul, he recognized that Timothy was imitating him. Your pastor, again, need to recognize it. But most of all, who need to recognize it? You do. You need to be able to look at your life and say, man, do I have qualities of who I'm following? Am I thinking, talking, and acting the way my pattern is? Look what Paul recognized about Timothy 3 and 10. But you, Timothy, have carefully followed. We would be right to say he was imitating, right? But you have helped me carefully follow. Look at this, my doctrine, which has to do with what he was teaching people. My manner of life. See, it was bigger than just what was going on in the church. Paul recognized outside the church, Timothy's lifestyle was like his. My purpose. Do you know what your purpose is? You should know your purpose is to be productive in every aspect of life. And so Paul was saying to Timothy, look, the purpose I have, I see you also have. And see, as a trendsetter, you should have my same purpose. My purpose is to be productive in every aspect of life. That should be your purpose. Then he goes on to say, you carefully followed my faith. Long suffering, oh Lord. Love, and what we were taught about last week from Bishop. Perseverance. You done learned how to be patient. You done learned how to endure. You done learned how to count it all joy, just like me. Paul saw seven qualities that he had that Timothy had imitated. Likewise, again, you should have some of the same qualities of you who you're imitating. Am I right about it? When you're following the right pattern, you're going to bear some fruit. You're going to begin to take on your pastor's spirit. You married, you see pastor treating his wife respectfully. You see pastor making sure he take his wife on vacation. When you get married as a man, you need to treat your wife respectfully, and you need to make sure you take your wife on vacations. You see Pastor treating his wife respectfully and taking his wife home, then you, when you get married, your husband need to treat you what? Will imitate. Pastor bring his kids to church. Matter of fact, anybody that stay at his house, he gonna make sure they come to church. I'm imitating Pastor. Well, you at my house? Guess where we going Sunday? We going church. You imitate. Pastor get mad at folk, he don't slap them. And you have seen your pastor get mad at folk, but did he slap? I want to see if he gonna slap them. Well, when you get mad at folk, you don't what? See, some of y'all wouldn't finish that sentence. Y'all love that vacation. Y'all love that treat respect, but let's talk about this slapping folk when you get mad. Cussing folk out when you get slamming doors when you get. Nah, I may slam a door. I ain't gonna tell you no lie. I may slam a door. But cussing folk out and slapping, oh no. You imitate the same qualities. Pastor being productive in the church, at your school, you need to be what? You need to be productive. Pastor pressing his way. He tired, he going through, but he's still pressing his way. You imitate that. You gonna go through things. You gonna feel tired. Guess what you need to do? Imitate pastor and press your way. Join in following my example and note those who doing likewise. It's not going to be just the pastor. It's going to be others in the congregation, adults and young adults. You note them and you follow their pattern. You imitate them. Don't imitate the world. Imitate the right pattern. Y'all ought to say this. Say, don't imitate the world. Say, imitate the right pattern. How many got a good understanding? Guess what we're going to be challenged in doing? Imitating pastor. Bottom line. If you got a good understanding, the Bible say the enemy going to come immediately and try to take that word out your heart. But how many understand who you should and should not imitate? Let's stop right there and let's give God a hand clap for the teaching.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to the Way to Go.